I want to look at the chapter 1 and chapter 2, 1 to 10 of Galatians this evening for a very important reason. I wonder if you've ever been astounded by anything. One example that I can think of is when David Cameron became Prime Minister. He had no mandate whatsoever to change the status of marriage. He became Prime Minister and he changed it. And I was astounded that someone could get away with something so big that would have such a cataclysmic impact, and there was no mention of it. The whole reason for this letter is that Paul is absolutely amazed that the Galatians are turning away from the one and only gospel. And I want to look at it this evening because we hear of so many churches where they are turning away from the gospel. They're doing their own thing. They're toning things down. And we have a responsibility to guard that gospel, but we need to know why we want to guard the gospel. We need to know what it is. And this evening I want to look at four points as we go through these verses. Firstly, that it is a unique gospel. There isn't another one, it's unique. Secondly, that it's a divine gospel. It's from heaven itself. Thirdly, that it's a saving gospel. And finally, that it's a sufficient gospel. In Galatians, Paul sets out the true nature of this gospel. As it is from God, he explains, that it's salvation by grace through faith alone. The last hymn that we were just singing refers to that. It's our thanks to God for what he has done. It's not our thanks to God for his little bit of it, because there's nothing else. It is what God has done in Christ Jesus. So firstly, I want to look at a unique gospel. The fact that this gospel needs to be guarded because it is a unique gospel. Paul is amazed because this gospel is unique. There is no substitute. I know a number of years ago we looked at getting double glazing, and you want double glazing, and you get all these companies wanting to offer you double glazing, and so many different companies offering different things, and one's got this. If you come with us, you've got this particular thing that no one else has got. If you go with someone else, they've got some other particular thing that no one else has got, and so on it goes. But Paul is clear that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is unique. And that is why we say to people, it doesn't matter about other faiths, in the sense that there's no point in considering them, because there is no other true saving faith. There is no other gospel. And the scriptures are at great pains to teach us that. There are many scriptures that tell us there's no point in looking at anything else. It is a unique gospel. Paul knew that it's the only gospel whereby a person is called to God in the grace of Christ Jesus, in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the marks of that gospel are mentioned in the sixth verse. It says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of God to a different gospel. It's the only one by which a person is called. Called. God's sovereignty, electing grace, foreknowledge. It is God's love. You see, there are people that think, well, I know, I can weigh it up, I know the facts, and I'll make my mind up. Dear friends, it's not a case of making your mind up. It's a case of, do you know God's electing love for you? It's not a case of when thinking, well, you know, I'll make my decision and I'll let go. You hear people saying, well, I've made a decision for God. No, you haven't. That is not the gospel. We don't make decisions for God. He is sovereign. He is omnipotent. He has elected his people from the foundation of the world. It's not a popular thing to hear, but that is what the scriptures tell us. It's the only gospel by which a person is called to God. The end of this calling is fellowship with God. That is God's desire, that his people have fellowship with him. We look at the Old Testament, and where do people find fellowship with God? They found fellowship with him in the temple. That was the place that where God was. In the tabernacle, and then in the temple. And then we come to the New Testament, and then we find that fellowship is with God in our lives. And ultimately that fellowship is with God in heaven, where we will see face to face. It's a unique gospel. There isn't anything else like it. There isn't another gospel that calls us to God, and that it calls us in grace. God gives us what we don't deserve. We have offended God with our sins. And yet he is merciful to us. He doesn't give us what we do deserve. He gives us mercy. What a great God. What a Saviour that should so love us and come and die for us. And it's the only one by which a person comes to Christ. The true gospel is centered on the Lord Jesus Christ, on him alone. It is Christ-centered, not man-centered. Knowing the marvel of such a free and undeserving gift, Paul can't understand why these churches in Galatia have turned away. They're looking elsewhere. And dear friends, do you know that gospel that has called you? Do you know that electing love? Do you know your sins forgiven by the Lord Jesus Christ? Because it is a unique gospel. But it has to be the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, not something that man has made up or taken the parts of the gospel and shaped them to their liking. You hear people say, well, yeah, I believe in this bit. I don't believe in that. I don't agree with that. I like this bit. I like Jesus' teaching, but I don't believe this about him. Dear friends, this is the revelation of God. The entirety of it. It is not for us to argue with it. It's not for us to say, well, I don't believe. This is God speaking. It is our place to listen. Why? Because it's a unique gospel. Paul understands that there are other so-called gospels, but he says very clearly which aren't gospels at all. We can go to some churches and you can hear a whole message with nothing about Christ. And we need to guard the truth of that. In fact, we're even warned in Scripture. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We need to be on our guard. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. There'll be people telling you all sorts of things. Well, that's not really what this means. You don't really think that God would do that, do you? Well, what about all the Muslims? Well, what about the Muslims? There is one gospel. It's for Muslims, it's for Buddhists, it's for anybody, it's for all who will come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, we're told in Mark, for false Christs and false prophets shall rise and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. And we need to be on our guard. Satan sets up false gospels to keep us from the blessings of the true gospel. Churches can be full of activity, and yet there be no gospel. They can be full of people. They can have a good youth work, a good this, a good that, and yet no gospel. And we need to be on our guard against religion. Because at the end of the day, it will help us not a shred. I was in We were on holiday and I went to Morrison's and went to pay, and for some reason I paid with some cash, usually it's a credit card, but got some cash out, and this lady, she put a £20 note through a machine. Usually they open the till and they put the money in, and I happened to give her a £20 note, and she put it in the in this machine. The machine was to check that the £20 note was a legitimate £20 note. Now, at the point of the checkout, it would have been no good to me to say to, well, sorry, you know, I didn't know that. I don't know where I got it from. It's not my fault. The fact of the matter is, had that been a fake £20 note, it would have been no good to me at all. And you see, hopefully, the analogy. Religion, church going, other gospels, they will be no good to us on that day when the Lord judges. But you can't say to them, well, I didn't quite know, because they taught me this, they taught me that, and I just believed it. Dear friends, we need to believe what the scriptures say. And it's therefore so important that we hear the word of God. We read the word of God. It's so so important that we are guarded about the kinds of things that we read. If you are using commentaries, what kind of commentaries? If you happen to be one of those people that likes going online and listening to sermons online, what are you listening to? Because the people who are teaching, very often American evangelists, not all of them, but very often there are these rich American evangelists and they say all sorts of things. They're not going to start off by saying, by the way, I've got a great big audience here and I want to tell you the things that I'm telling you this evening are lies. They're smooth. They try and convince you of their ways and the fact that they're in mega churches. You think, well, it must be true. We need to be careful, because the Bible tells us very clearly that the gospel is a unique gospel. And we need to make sure when we're listening to the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ as it is in Christ. We need to be like the Bereans, don't we? Studying our scriptures to see if these things are true. And if we're not sure about something, asking someone that you know will know the answer. Therein itself lies a problem. Whom do you ask? Whom do you go to? And the Bible tells us we are to examine ourselves as to whether we are in the faith, whether we have that unique gospel, whether we know it or not. Satan will put things in our path to distract us. He will try and send us off in a different way. But we are to guard the unique gospel. The Galatians, you see, they had fallen for another gospel, which isn't a gospel. There were people coming along. They'd heard that people had been converted, and they came along, and they started saying to these uncircumcised people, it's lovely that you've heard the gospel, isn't that wonderful? But you know what you need to do to be converted truly, to be a Christian, is you've got to be circumcised. You've got to be like the Jews. You've got to follow the ceremonial law and all those things. And they were heaping upon them works. And Paul's saying, no, 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 you don't need any of that. It is the gospel. It is Christ. It's not works. We don't do anything. It is all of God. All of his amazing and electing grace. And I wonder, is that the gospel this evening that you know? How adamant is Paul? So adamant that he's willing to call down curses for anyone else, even himself, if he should preach another gospel. He's passionate about it. You notice as we read Galatians and compare it to the other letters that Paul goes straight to the point, that he's amazed, that he marvels that they're turning away. The other letters, Paul spends time with endearments and encouragements. And here he comes straight to the point, basically saying, I'm shocked, what on earth are you doing? What do you think you're doing? Can you not see it? Here's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you've jettisoned it for a gospel plus, which is no gospel. It is unique. Jesus himself says, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Dear friends, if we reject that door, there isn't another door. If we reject that door, there is no other gospel by which we can be saved. It's a unique gospel. And we must guard it. In the second place, it is a divine gospel. Not only is it unique, it is divine. Paul isn't in it for himself. We were hearing this morning, weren't we, about people like Judas and Judas of Galilee, who got a following. They would teach certain things and people would think, oh, yeah, I agree with that. Yeah, I like that. Never thought about that. And they would follow these people. And after a while, things would filter out. Things would disappear. And they would lose their following and it would come to nothing. But Paul says, no, this is a divine gospel. This comes from heaven. What I'm telling you, what I've taught you, what you accepted is from heaven itself. And he makes the point of saying, there, is it the favour of man that I'm now seeking to win or of God? Paul's not going to be making friends by bringing down curses. He wants to be faithful to God. Or is it man I'm seeking to please? Is it not clear that it is not man's approval I seek, but God's? You know, we don't have fellowship with other churches because they are churches and they are Christian. We don't have fellowship with them if they don't preach the true gospel. And people say, well, that Grace Baptist Church, they're a little bit on their own, aren't they? The reason is because we do have fellowship with like-minded churches. But we cannot have fellowship with churches that preach another gospel because it is not pointing them to Christ. And we need to be clear. Paul is very clear on this. He even calls down curses upon himself if he were to preach another gospel. This is a divine gospel. The gospel that he preaches, he says in verse 11, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached to me is not according to man. It's not as though people came up with an idea. It's not as though they sat down and think, well, we think this is how things are going to be in the future. And it is not a gospel. It is not a word of God has been shaped in any way by man. God has used men to write it, but the gospel, the scriptures, are God's revelation as he wants himself revealed. It's a divine gospel. Paul says it's not according to man. There's no human invention in the gospel. That's why it's not up for debate. That's why we should avoid these conversations where people say, well, I like to think of God as, or I like to think of what this passage means, or I like to think this is for so such and such people. No, we say, Lord, what are you saying? And we ask for God's help. We ask his Holy Spirit to grant us understanding. It's a divine gospel that has come from God, neither received from man. Verse 12, he says, for I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it. It's not as though Paul went to school, and he did go to school, sat under Gamaliel and learnt an awful lot, and he had a brilliant mind. But notice what he says, I didn't receive it from man, nor was I taught it. And he was taught an awful lot of things, and he knew a lot. But he wasn't taught this gospel by man. What does he say? It came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's where he learnt it from. He didn't get it from the apostles. He didn't get it from other people. It all came by revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ. You follow his argument where he was at the time. It came by revelation to him from Jesus Christ, he says in verse 12. It was revealed, notice in verse 15, 16, it was revealed in God's time. But when it pleased God, this is why I said earlier on, it's not a gospel that we come around to and think, yeah, you know, you can be persuaded, I suppose, to be a Marxist. You can be persuaded by some people to be a terrorist. You spend time with them and they tell you things and they convince you of what they're saying. And you can come round to their way of thinking. This is not that kind of gospel. It's a divine gospel. It comes from God and God reveals himself to us. He reveals himself to us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to bear that in mind. When it pleased God, to reveal it to him. And that's why he says that he was like one born out of due time. He says in verse 16, I didn't confer, I might preach him among the Gentiles. I didn't immediately confer with flesh and blood. He was converted and Christ revealed himself to him. He didn't go off to learn, you know, what do you think this? Didn't go to the apostles and say, what do you think this means? You know, what's your take on this? What he was taught was the gospel from the Lord Jesus Christ, a divine gospel. And God revealed it to him. Verse 17, we see that he didn't have the apostles' approval. He didn't go to them and say, well, this is what I think. Can you just make sure that what I'm saying is right? Because he'd received it from the Lord Jesus. He didn't get their approval or confirmation. He didn't have them come and say, well, you're okay on this bit, Paul, but you're not quite right on that. You need to change what you're thinking, what you're saying. He didn't have their clarification. A divine gospel he had received from God. We notice in Acts chapter 9 verse 20 that Paul, when he was converted, he preached immediately in the synagogue after going to Arabia, that is. He preached the gospel given to him in all its purity. It's not something that he'd amassed in his learning over time without being in any way diluted by mixing with others. It was from Christ. And then we read in verse 18, it was only 3 years later that he met the Apostle Peter, and then it was only for 15 days. So it's not that though he was sent out by the apostles with them having said, well, this Paul, I think he's got it now. We could send him out. He's been approved by us. What enabled Paul to preach with the gospel of Christ with such authority? It's that he was a man with a God-given commission. It's not someone who'd set himself up, someone who had a good idea, someone who had a good intention. He was empowered by God. And he was so convicted, he who formerly persecuted now preaches the faith which he once tried to destroy. We read in verse 23. It's a divine gospel. It has come from God. And Paul is a man who was commissioned by God. And so we need to hang on to this divine gospel, this unique gospel, and we need to be careful what we hear about it. Thirdly, it's a saving gospel. Paul clearly knew many of the facts about the way. He'd grown up under Gamaliel. He knew his Old Testament scripture. He says, I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my contemporaries in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. He was religious, all right, and he knew his scriptures, not in a saving way at that point. He'd obviously heard about testimonies and had first-hand accounts of these Christians. So he knew about them. But Paul is not talking about mere facts. He's speaking of a saving gospel with a completely different nature or essence to knowledge. The gospel is clearly not mere head knowledge, as Paul had in abundance before he was converted. He had head knowledge. It wasn't saving. What is needed is for God to open our eyes once we know the facts. Hence, we need to read the scriptures. We need the light of the Word of God poured into our minds. And that's why if you do not read the scriptures, if you do not read your Bibles regularly, you are suffocating yourself spiritually. You're not allowing the Word of God to work in your mind and your thinking and letting it out, the outworking of it in your lives. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And to do that, we need to read the Word of God. And we need to pray that God would impress it upon our hearts and our wills. It is a saving gospel. Psalm 119, 130, well-known verse, the entrance of your word, words gives light and it gives understanding to the simple. You see, the facts are clear, that God is holy, that we are sinners, that we deserve death. These things we read in the scriptures. But God loves his people so much that Christ died for them. We know the Bible tells us that his people go to heaven, and those who don't trust him will spend eternity in hell. But you know, there are many people that can tell you the facts of what the Bible teach, and they can still be on their way to hell because they have not themselves been saved. Dear friends, this evening, where do you stand? Do you know the facts of the scripture or as facts, or do you know them savingly? There is a world of difference. To one, these things are maybe answers in a pub quiz. Do you know, what do Christians believe? You may know what they believe, but the question is, can you say, I believe? I know these things are true. Facts don't constitute a saving gospel. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal saviour? If you do, how does it manifest itself? Does it manifest itself in obedience? Because if it's saving, it will. You will so love the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be so thankful to him for what he has done, that he has delivered you from your sins, that you will say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Here I am. Send me. It is no longer about me. Before we are converted, we have hearts, don't we, that want to do things what we want to do. When I grow up, I want to do this. I've got this plan. I've got that plan. When we're converted, there's a completely different attitude. There's a desire to serve God. And we start asking questions, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? How do you want me to live? We read the scriptures. Well, that's how you want me to live, Lord. I've not been living like that. Forgive me and help me by your Holy Spirit to live aright. You see, this is a saving gospel. It's a transforming gospel. It will transform your lives. You can know that a measles jab will prevent measles, but it's absolutely no use to anyone if they don't take the jab, if they don't take it. This evening, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul knew what the gospel was, that it was a saving gospel. He was passionate about it, and he was emphatic that we need to guard this gospel. He was so angry that they were turning away from this gospel, because it is a saving gospel. It is the saving gospel. Indeed, he says in Romans, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God unto salvation. The power of God unto salvation. Dear friends, do you know that power unto salvation? So it is a saving gospel. But in the last place, it is a sufficient gospel. Paul sets out in no uncertain terms that this gospel is a sufficient gospel. He says in verse 7, which is not another... It is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. The simplicity of the gospel is that we are sinners and that Christ has died, and we can know forgiveness from our sins if we trust in him. Paul is shocked that the Galatian churches, they've heard this and they've acknowledged it, and that now they're being told that they need to be circumcised. They need to do this and they need to do that and they need to do the other. Paul says, no. The simplicity of the gospel, it is a sufficient gospel. It's complete in itself. It's not a partial gospel that's a kind of starter kit to get you on your way. You think of there's something wrong with you, and you go to the doctor and you get a prescription. They will prescribe some medication and you take the medication because that is going to sort out the problem. You don't try and add to the medication. You think, well, if I take a little bit more of that and a little bit of that, that should help me. No. To use another analogy, if you can spare it, is, you know, you think of a fruit drink and you compare that to a squash. The fruit drink, it's there in its entirety and it's good for you. And squash, well, you've got to start a bit, haven't you? You've got to add the water. The gospel isn't like that. It's like the fruit. In its entirety, it is sufficient. You don't have to add anything to it. In fact, you can't add anything to it. It is offensive to try and add anything. If we try and add anything to the gospel, it's saying to God, thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ for what he's done, but I'm going to top it up and make it really effective. What an insult to God, as though God couldn't provide for our sins, which he has done in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear friends, are you in the position where you have accepted Christ, but you're trying to add to your salvation? You're trying to add and say, well, I'll finish it off for you, Lord. I'll turn over a new leaf. I'll do my bit. Of course, we've got to do what God says, but we do it in his strength. There's nothing of self, even our desire to live for him. We ask God to give us that desire. It's his Holy Spirit working within us. You get to the end of the year, come to 1st of January. I wonder how many New Year's resolutions there are. You see, the gospel is not a New Year's resolution. We don't say, I'm going to try a little bit harder, because we cannot please God. The gospel is God so working in us that we want to do his will, because we love him. It's not us trying harder to please God. It's having a changed heart that loves him. Those of us who are married, we don't try harder to love our husbands or our wives, our spouses. We love them because of who they are. We don't think, well, today I'm going to really give it a go. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to really give it a go. We love them, and we want to do what pleases them. I know we let them down, but our desire is to please them. We don't think, well, I'll get them back. And similarly with God, the gospel that he has given is sufficient. And when he transforms our lives, he gives us that love for the Lord Jesus. He gives us that desire to serve him and to live for him. Paul mentions this because in the verses we've mentioned, he talks about some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. They're trying to add to the gospel. I hope this evening you're not trying to add to the gospel, but that you are grateful to God for the Lord Jesus Christ, that he has done everything. What did Jesus say on the cross? It is finished. He didn't say, I'm nearly there, could you top it up? And I don't mean that irreverently, and I say that guardedly, but when Christ died on the cross, he finished the work of salvation. It was completed. And the question is, have we come to him and asked him for that forgiveness and that salvation? Scripture teaches us that Christ died for our sins and that we're saved by grace through faith. And we're told in Ephesians, even that faith is not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. The faith that we have to believe in Jesus Christ is a gift from God. There's nothing of self. Is Christ's death not sufficient? Would you sit there this evening and say that what Christ did on the cross is not sufficient? Dear friends, I trust that you are trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, and not thinking of how can I top things up. So in closing this evening, we've seen from Galatians that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a unique gospel. There isn't another one. there's no point in exploring, well, what's Buddhism got to offer me? You know, all these Muslims in the world, can they be wrong? Numbers don't mean truth. Christ has revealed himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, as the Saviour of the world. So there's no point in exploring other things. We've seen that the gospel is unique. We've seen that it is divine. It is the word of God. It's not the Chinese whispers. It's not written by men. It's not being discussed and shaped to appeal to certain people or certain people's opinions or points of view. It has come from heaven itself. It's a divine gospel. In the third place, it's a saving gospel. If we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told, you will be saved. How much simpler can it get? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Not maybe, you will be. There's that certainty. And lastly, it's a sufficient gospel. It is all that we need. And I commend it to you. And may we love the Lord Jesus Christ for this unique, divine, saving and sufficient gospel. I would just ask you, do you? Amen.